ready?
Absolutely.
Thank you for that break. Okay, we will go ahead and come back into session. The last item on our agenda is an information report on San Jose Charter Academy. Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Shoemaker. I really want to stress with the board, this is an information report. It really is designed around our two new board members to kind of give them an overview. As you know, our MOU, our agreement, comes up in June of next year. So there's plenty of time. This is an opportunity for staff to hear any concerns, hear any questions, do the research. We've already started to do a little bit, as you could tell by the board policy that came across that we pulled. There'll be lots of questions that we may or may not have answers for, but again, this is an opportunity for us to hear you, hear your concerns in the dialogue that you might have. Take notes and come back. This is this is an overview, and we'll be coming back with presentations as we get closer and closer to the timeline. So, with that being said, let's turn it over to Dr. Coghlan.
And I am going to have our Chief Fiscal Executive, Manoj Roy-Chowdhury, go through this presentation on the different oversight responsibilities that we have, in particular with San Jose Charter Academy. So, Manoj.
Good evening, respected board members, Dr. Hinman, assistant superintendent, and the audience. We'll give a brief overview of the oversight responsibilities that our district has over San Jose Charter Academy. It's six slides. We'll go over quick the different agreements that we have with San Jose and what do we do from business services, fiscal services to monitor the fiscal condition of the charter school. Just to give a brief background, there was a charter petition that we received from San Jose back in July 2011 that the board approved of, and from the charter petition, we had three separate agreements that we have. One is the food services or the nutrition services agreement that is renewed every year. The facilities agreement is a five-year agreement from 2011 to 2016, and on the next few slides, I'll go over what does it cover, some of the highlights. And then we have an MOU for the operations where we have the oversight for fiscal services and also their attendance reporting. So as Dr. Hinman said, the last year of the contract will be this year, 2015-16. That's when the contract will end, June 30, and the charter will most probably come up for renewal for 15-16. We'll start with the easiest one, the Nutrition Services Agreement. This has been renewed annually for the last 4 years. This year, 2014-15, we had the agreement where we filed for the free and reduced meal applications, verified the application, and sought reimbursement from CDE. We provided all the food services, meal counts, both resources from a manpower and also supplies. Coming up 15-16, on this board packet, you had the Nutrition Services Agreement, wherein San Jose would be applying for their own LEA or school SFA, so School Food Authority, and they will be applying for their own reimbursement for free and reduced program. They'll verify the applications. The audit will be on their site itself. The district will just provide the breakfast and the lunch at a per meal cost basis. So that's the difference. The facilities agreement, it covers the day-to-day operations from a repair and maintenance perspective. San Jose Charter Academy is responsible for their day-to-day maintenance and repairs. What they do currently is they do sometimes ask our services folks to go over and fix regular repairs and maintenance, and we do bill them back for those services. We are responsible for deferred maintenance, things like roofing, major repairs. Charter maintains all the insurance and the indemnification liabilities for those. Apart from that, also Charter can ask for some specific services with regard to facilities from us that we get billed them back. The main agreement that covers the operation side is the MOU that we have, and this is where, as an LEA, we are the authorizing agency for San Jose Charter Academy, and we have the fiscal oversight. So the CDE expects us, the CDE and the county expects us to monitor them fiscally. We do review all their financial reports, attendance report. We do monitor their unaudited actuals, their audit findings, and even their P1 attendance. If there are any findings other than fiscal, we do refer it to other divisions in our district. For example, if there is some findings on special education, we do refer it to our special education department. Although having said that, they are their own LEAs for special education, so they are a part of the SELPA member team. We used to pass on the funds that we receive from CDE. Now they are direct funded, so they receive their funding directly from CDE. We just pass on the in lieu of property taxes from our district to their side based on their ADA. I did highlight some of the additional services that we provide. They do ask us for substitute teachers and nursing services that we provide, and we do bill them back. And we do bill them back for their utility usage and their trash and other usage. There are other education code that covers the agreement that we are not going to go over in detail. The last slide is basically their agreement. We do have on the MOU that they are capped at about 1,276 students, 1,160 plus 10% that they can go up to. They do provide us a maximum enrollment plan every year by January 15 for the next fiscal year. And this is on the charter petition, the last bullet that we have, that they do prioritize children of the faculty, the sibling of the current students, and the children residing in West Covina. On that basis, that's the priority list they have. And with that, I'll open up to any questions.
Let me share with the board really quick, under the guides of no surprises. There was a conference call today with Mr. Seaman, Dr. Coughlin, and I with Denise Patton. I wanted to make sure she was aware that we were having this presentation today. She was at LAX on her way to Europe, so I did not feel too sorry for her. But I do want to share with you, I obviously doing my due diligence coming to West Covina, I did my research on the relationship between San Jose Charter and the West Covina Unified School District and some of the issues that may or may not have happened in the past. But I will tell you that I have met with Denise Patton on several occasions. I've had phone calls with her. I've shared with her some of our concerns, some potential issues in the future, and she's been very open to dialogue and discussion. Obviously, she wants to work with her board and have discussions with her attorneys as we move forward, but I don't sense, at least at this point, a resistance to dialogue and moving forward with any discussion that the board might have or the direction the board might want to go.
Are there... Mr. Flowers, any questions?
You said there are 1,276 students. How many of those are West Covina students?
We do get that report. I can give you that breakup.
The majority.
Now, since it seems like the charter is doing a lot of things that don't, would they ever come a time where they'd be operating on their own without the district oversight?
Yeah. Under education code, they have to have an authorizing agency. It has to be either the district or the county office of education, or if at sub-state, the CDE can be also the state.
So again, the district, we're going to provide all their meals, lunch and breakfast. So we'll give a certain amount. And what happens to the meals that are not sold? If they don't sell all their meals, what do they do with those meals?
We get paid for the meals we serve. So if they order a certain number of meals, they reimburse us for the number of meals that we sold.
We don't have no oversight. Suppose they don't need, we give them 600 meals and they don't sell out 600, they have 500. What do they do with those 100? Do we have anything to do with that? Or they can do what they want to do with those meals? Or do they can dispose of it? What do they do with those meals and stuff over they don't need them?
They can do anything basically because once they purchase the meals, that's theirs. That's my understanding.
Ms. Paul?
It sounds like you've already had some conversations that may not be reflected in here. Mm-hmm. Do you don't feel at this time there are things that need to be shared with us?
I'd be happy to share anything with you. I know through dialogue, with individual board members and with San Jose Charter, I know that enrollment, and I know that Trustee Flowers just brought that up, enrollment is a concern as to the percentages of West Covina students attending San Jose versus their waiting list. And Denise Pat and I have had that conversation. I've not looked at their numbers, and nor would I at this stage of the game, but I'm ballparking that they have some, quote-unquote, 1,400 students on their waiting list. But the way this is designed and the way this reads, that of that waiting list, if West Covina children have priority, that when they go through their lottery system, there are going to be two lotteries, one with just West Covina students, and if that requirement is met, then they would open up lottery two, which would be non-West Covina students. Right now, they fill their bill with West Covina students. The discussion I have had, again, not from direction from the board, but just inquiring, was why couldn't you open up that lottery system far and wide and include a larger span and not just West Covina students? And she's been very open to that. I'll be honest with you. They have some of their own concerns. They're just on the cusp of meeting the free and reduced requirement to get additional funding from the state. They need a 55% margin, and I think they're at like 52%. One of the discussions I had with her, again, just talking out loud, was if they changed their charter to prioritize free and reduced students, they could have a reason to open their lottery outside of West Covina to hit that mark, at which in turn might help us because their numbers from outside would go up and we would retain some of our students. So those are the kind of discussions I'm having with her. It's just exploratory, nothing definitive.
Right. Originally, we did have a cap on how many West Covina students could go, mm-hmm. Because we were using it as a growth opportunity in our district to bring additional students into our district. And then the law had changed where West Covina students needed to be given priority. I thought that what had happened is, am I incorrect?
I can only tell you what your current agreement states, and basically it's the priority is given to children residing in West Covina. I don't know historically what the decision was. But where it is now, children and faculty, siblings and children residing in West Covina are their priority. So when they do their lottery, pretty much when you ask what, of that 1,270 kids, how many are West Covina, I would probably argue that 80% of them are West Covina students.
And who brought up moving towards maybe free and reduced lunch, making that one of their priorities? Was that from Dr. Patton or from yourself?
That was from me. Because she brought up the issue that, if we just had X, then we could have more funding. So that's when I suggested, well, then rewrite your charter, designed for that particular subgroup, open up your lottery to draw people. Because obviously right now they're not within – we talked to staff today, but within their current parameters, they're not getting – even though we have a high free and reduced lunch population, they're not getting enough of those kids to hit that mark. So the only way they're going to get it is to go outside of the parameters that this contract sets, which actually benefits them, it benefits us. It would be a question that the board would have to direct us to explore.
I think transportation costs for parents may be an issue for free and reduced lunch.
Mm-hmm.
At least I would look at the cost of gasoline. Yeah. So some of our closer, like if that's on the border of Lockheed-Winnie and Baldwin Park, some of the students might be able to come and expense.
I'm assuming, without any real data, that if there's 1,400 students on the waiting list, that those include a significant amount of free and reduced parents who want to send their children there. Mm-hmm. So, but they can't get in because West Covina children take up all those slots. Now, remember, if you change a policy like this in June of 2016, you're looking at an entering kindergarten. So you're not going to see a big mass change, kind of like the data. You're not going to see a big mass change in year one, but as those students matriculate up and you have 7 or 8 kindergarten entries that matriculate through, your numbers of West Covina students would – begin to drop and students from the outside would begin to grow. And I would also say, going to your earlier premise, if that were the case and if we had kids come to San Jose and you build this phenomenal K-12 IB articulation, you then might start to get those kids come from San Jose into Edgewood or West Covina, but come into the West Covina schools, which is our master plan.
I have a quick question. I hope it's a quick question. Does the data show that students, special ed and EL students, have an equitable, I know it's supposed to be a lottery, but are equitably getting admitted into San Jose?
I don't have access to that. I could only guesstimate, and I'm not comfortable doing that. I mean, we can tell you how many EL students and how many special ed students, but I can't tell you, is it 100% by lottery chance that they get in?
What, do you have those numbers or, yeah?
We can get that data to you. Okay. We have access to their student population data.
I'm curious to see.
And then if we did look at the special education, I would like it to look at categories.
Mm-hmm.
Are they only speech and language? So what does it look like? And then I'd like it to comparison to our data.
Right.
And the numbers that we're seeing in the different categories. So it's not enough just to see how many special education students they have. Mm-hmm. I want it broken down.
And Ms. Hawkins, correct me if I'm wrong, but most of those services are provided by our school district, are they not?
To San Jose's credit, the things that they have been provided on their campus. We do provide some services for them, and then we recently entered into an MOU for the students that needed more intensive needs, that we provide services for those students. They actually attend our school, and San Jose would pay us to do that.
Right. Well, when they became independent, that was we really said, all children, then you're going to be responsible for. Because all the special education students we were educating in the previous. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate that, but I'm curious on the lottery and if there's people with what are the intense needs, and if they're paying for the students to come here, I want those numbers too. Mm-hmm. And I want to look at it because I would hate anyone to be discouraged from going there.
The number of students that are coming here from there is very small. I believe it's in the single digits, but it's the services and the kinds of disabilities.
Percentage-wise, mm-hmm. How many children with autism, how many children with speech, severe, moderate, mild.
The big categories.
Yes.
With the services.
I'd appreciate that. And then the English language learners. But I know they did have some really great programs dealing with their English language learners. I don't believe that's changed since
last report. And what I want to make sure I clarify, besides drilling down, but just proportionality, San Jose Charter versus our public schools, would you say that it is equal in special ed and EL attendance based on per diem?
I couldn't say, okay. Speaking to that data specifically.
We'll
find that, right. I don't think it probably is, but we'll get that.
But I'm wondering if we could even look, has it changed since they've become independent?
Yeah.
And that they were saying that was something they were going to try to do. So those were the – oh, I'm sorry.
Well, and with that, I would also like to know if the special ed students are staying at San Jose Charter Academy, or are they there a year and maybe moving out? Mm-hmm. And, just a general what's going on with the students, mm-hmm. as part of the categories going in. Ms. Miranda Jimenez.
I don't know the exact data, but I can tell you that the special ed department has grown. They've got a lot of staff. And I remember, Ms. Polis, when you and I have gone on campus, Dr. Patton telling us that they have a higher percentage than most schools, and it's continued to grow. But I can't give you the numbers. The staff will provide that. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was telling her that they had a high speech and language, mm-hmm. and LD type population.
And autism, very high.
But not as much.
Grown, which is amazing. But anyway, but I'd like to know the answer to that question, yeah. too. How long do they stay?
It'll be great to know that it's grown. It was something they said that they were going to work on, and so it will be great to get that information. Mr. Maneras, do you have any further questions? Okay. When we do the agenda sessions, I don't necessarily see the report or know what the report is going to be on. So I got this today, too, and I'm just going to say this isn't what I was looking for. I get that this is an oversight, but I was actually looking. We have a board policy that says, at the board's request, the superintendent or designee will report on the charter school's performance based on the academic and fiscal accountability measures specified in the approved charter. So I was expecting a report that showed us the academic and fiscal accountability measures specified in their charter. It's a report that I've asked for several years, and so I had high hopes that this report would be it. And I understand that's not your issue. You're just coming in.
Right.
So understand that that isn't – I understand why it happened, but I am going to be requesting that we actually get the report that – I'm allowed to request as a board, and the information. I mean, the board policy also goes on, and I'm not sure how we are going to measure adequate yearly progress with how everything's been thrown up in the air in education. But it says, in addition, the board shall determine whether the charter makes adequate yearly progress as defined by the SBE and federal Title I accountability measures. And so without a report as to that, there is, how do we determine that they're, doing what they need to do and making the adequate yearly progress to fulfill our oversight duties?
Is a, just a point of clarification, because that you're right, and I apologize, that was not ever in my lens to present. But that being said, we have absolutely no problem providing that. My question for the board, or at least for you, President Shoemaker, it seems like that type of presentation we should request from San Jose Charter itself to come and do that presentation.
No, because the academic and fiscal accountability measures, in our report, I'm being told they're sending us their fiscal reports, we're monitoring them, we've done this.
Right.
So what does our staff see? Because ultimately, they report to us, we are supposed to oversee it, and then the board is supposed to know whether or not everything is in line.
We would pull their academic data, and we would do a presentation of their data.
Yeah, and I have no problem if you guys have clarifying questions for them as you pull it together, or if the charter school feels they need to be here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I imagine they would be here.
To answer any questions we might have.
Right.
That's not the issue, but this is really a report the superintendent will report on the charter schools or designee. And so I would say no, I don't want a report that's supposed to be what we're doing to provide our oversight to come from the site we're overseeing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just don't think that passes the smell test on us doing our duty.
And so just point of clarification, and again, I can read the language, but what you're asking for is basically, are they meeting their academic requirements as a charter under the guides of AYP?
Academic and fiscal and accountability.
Right. Well, I think fiscal we can show you relatively easily. I think we are doing that on a dated month-in, month-out basis. We are looking at their numbers. I think if they were not fiscally sound, you would have gotten that information long ago. I'm making that assumption, but I'm pretty confident in our business division. What I do not have, nor have I seen, outside of a qualitative visit to the school itself, are actual academic numbers. So that is a fair request, and we have no problem bringing that forward.
Okay, and so that is my request, that we get that report. And I'll bring up the next thing in further discussion. So any other questions?
The fiscal oversight, I know originally they wanted for us to loan them money. This is right before the crisis hit. And there was a lot of, we said, we aren't going to have that kind of cash to be able to lend you for the next 5 years when we know that we're going to have a cash flow problem. So they had to go out and get loans. But we weren't really, as a board, I know that you're made aware of that, but as a board, we're not made aware of that. Did they take out loans? Have they paid them back? Are they fiscally sound now? Do they not need to take out loans anymore?
I can address the question. When they started, you were right, they had a $1.6 million loan from an external agency. Over a period of last 4 years, they repaid that loan several times because it's like a 3 month or a 6 month loan. And also, the cash flow has improved from the state. There are no more deferrals. So right now, they don't have any outstanding loan, long-term obligation. And they are showing an ending balance of about $1.8 million end of this fiscal year.
I mean, I was just wondering, because we were hit so hard, but we had a larger reserve.
That's right.
So we had more to go from, but then I just hadn't heard anything negative, so.
Well, I and again, board members, I again, thank you. As part of our future due diligence, when we report out on San Jose Charter, you know, we will include all of the above, including fiscal. Again, my assumption, you should never assume in this business.
That's why I didn't talk.
That, right, just because we haven't heard of the fiscal situation, believe but verify, trust but verify. So I've been told that, but I think it's prudent upon the board to verify that they're fiscally sound and academically sound, and we'll come back with you a report that actually shares both.
Especially since the board, well, certain board members shared grave concerns about the amount of borrowing that was going to have to happen. And
grave concerns about what, I'm sorry?
Amount of borrowing the charter school was going to need to do over its first several operating years. And I don't have the contract in front of me right now, but I believe... And it may have been taken out, but there was language on when borrowing could happen, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so there may have been a misunderstanding with staff on when the board needed to be notified that that was happening and what the duty of the business services department was when it came to notification versus board approval. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's important, at least at this point. And it's kind of funny that the charter school oversight board policy is here because it definitely helped with my questions.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Ms. Miranda Menes.
As that report is being compiled to give to the board, if I would love to also know how many of the students from San Jose stay in our district, how many of them go over to Edgewood and West Covina High School? Are we retaining 50% of them or 25%, mm-hmm. because it's a great opportunity for us to, as we continue to improve our enrollment, to increase our enrollment. So they are already here. So
are
I'd like
you
to know that.
From outside of the district? Is that your question?
Well, just in general, from that class of 136, what percent come over? Because they're at a charter. I tend to find that even people within our district feel that they have the ability to obviously go anywhere they want, and they're willing to drive their kids. And so I've worked hard to convince people to stay in the district. I'd be curious to see what the percentage is that stay, and that to add to the report. Thank you.
Okay, then we'll move on to Board of Education discussion. Before we start talking about the site visit, is there anything else the board would like to discuss?
I should like to say one thing. I met a guy named Jeffrey Zhu, and I was talking to him today, and I'd like just to thank him publicly. He donated trees to Walnut Grove, and he just donated them. He said he would like to donate if the schools need more trees. He would like to do more donation like that to the district if at all possible, free of charge. So, you know, schools need some trees. That's the thing. He's master wood or something like that. So if the district need any trees, he said, Mike, let me know. We're doing it for Walnut Grove. We'd like to do it for other schools. So just want to bring that out, and maybe you guys would.
You have the contact information?
Yes.
We can get to Dr. Coughlin. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
I have two.
Okay. The other item that I wanted to bring up is I know that upcoming we will have CAVA for the same information report.
Yes.
And so just so we're clear, the rest of the board can nod their head yes or no if they agree with me. I expect the report I just requested for Edison, San Jose to be for CAVA also.
Absolutely.
Okay. Ms. Miranda Menes?
There were two things. One of them was the summer school tour, the date. So I'm excited that hopefully we can all be together. And post-graduation plans from both high schools, if we're going to be able to see that report from West Covina High and Edgewood High School. I know that we're hiring a new employee, a director over college and career. So perhaps with them for next year, we can decide what percentages we want to capture, percentage increase in four-year colleges, et cetera. But at least get a general idea. I know thanks to the awards assembly, we have some going to Columbia. There's some going out of the United States international. But if we can get that data, that information, post-graduation plans for Edgewood and West Covina High. And then
Coronado.
And Coronado, yes, thank you. And Coronado, thank you. And then the other thing I wanted to ask is after that amazing 100-day plan, I wanted to see where the board's temperament was on doing a board retreat this summer. I did notice on Dr. Hinman's plans that the staff has a retreat coming up, and that makes me very jealous. So I wanted to see where the board was at with us opening up our calendars and doing a board retreat to get ready for the new year. So
I'm fine with it.
I think it's the end of June. School starts August 5th. Our staff is incredibly busy. That maybe now is not the time that we look towards next year and plan it in advance so that it's not just saying we're going to have a retreat, it's also planning where it's going to be and what's going to happen and things like that. And so I'm just a little concerned with all of the new programs opening this year and the retreat for staff of the administrators already, and then we're right at kickoff breakfast after that, that it's too much for this summer. So that is my thought. I would have no problem looking at it for next summer. I just think the summer is too short, especially since we're at the end of June.
Is this kind of retreat something that's been done before with the board?
No.
We have not done a retreat before. I've wanted to do one for years. I'm even open to a one-day study session. Just to prepare. We've got great information in moving forward, but anyway, I'll go with the majority of the board, but that's what I wanted to add is how the board feels and if we can move forward with a retreat or a one-day study session, and maybe next year be a two-day retreat. I like that idea.
Yeah. I'd like to see us do it one day also. When, I don't, you know, it's got to be convenient for the district as a whole, but I would like to see us do a retreat also, if possible.
But we just had... I wouldn't call it a retreat, but where we got together as a board, we set up our board norms.
Yeah, but that was in, I like to get outside, away.
We could continue that, because the next thing that Dr. Escalante said he could help us with would be board superintendent evaluation. He listed a few things. Right, maybe so we can take on one or two.
But since we've just done something, maybe we can wait. And especially with all the new programs that we're starting right now, I don't want poor Ms. Hawkins has really – and now she's not only going to have to do all that, but she's going to train new staff, which I know she's going to do a marvelous job, and I have every confidence. But maybe once that new staff gets on board and she's able to spread out her work a little bit, then we can ask, because most likely this is going to go on her plate. Not that, you know. So if we can just wait a little bit until after all of this starts, and then it would be really great to find out how these new programs that we're starting, maybe a mid-year report, how we're actually doing on those, and then how we can improve on getting more students for those the following year, or what the plan is. Might be a good way to do that, and that would give you a little breather to get them actually off the ground.
I have one more question. Just for the district, when we guys, how do we stand on our iPads now? Will we have our iPads before school starts?
Now that's something we could do with the board, getting together and learning actually how to use the new technology if that's going.
Well,
it's in the process, right?
But what is
not something we can really discuss right now because it's an agenda item.
Oh,
it will be an agenda item.
Okay.
Oh, but that could be something the board can look forward to for their in lieu of a retreat. A training.
A training.
Only if I can be excused.
No, you could sit down and I'll need to
show you.
You could give the
room. You can show us all. You can show us all.
I could be the A student.
Come
show
we
need. See, all this we won't have to use no more.
All this. That will make it worth it. Okay, so the last item is the site visit for the summer school. And before we get started on this, there's a couple of things I'd like to address. Obviously, whenever a board member requests a site visit, it's granted. You know, that's just what happens. I just want to make sure with this site visit specifically, summer school is short time, curriculum intensive, teaching. I think there needs to be an understanding that if the site inspection happens, that instruction not be disturbed at all, students not be talked to at all, because they have 12 days, 5 hours to get a semester's worth of work in. And so I'm very hesitant to even have a site inspection knowing what happens at summer school. I mean, I know there's a lot of questions that went along with the site inspection, and so a lot of the questions, I mean, there were enough questions that I feel that it probably should have been a discussion item on the agenda, especially knowing that the person the information was requested from is running summer school and getting the school year up and running for next year. And so, you know, I feel as an individual board member that I need to express grave concerns about a site inspection during summer school, knowing that I understand that it can happen, but I would like a board agreement before we set this site inspection that it is understood that it's going to have to be an in-and-out classroom, no minimal disruption, no talking to students, no talking to staff, you know, in the back, listen for a few minutes, and move on. And so those are my concerns.
I would add that, I mean, being at a high school, that what you will see during summer does not reflect what you see during the school year. I have been a summer school high school teacher, and it is the most tiring thing a teacher can do. Where you have to teach 5 hours in one day, the same content, the same students. It's very tiring both for the teacher and the student. So one thing I've learned being at a high school is that I rarely judge a teacher based on what I see during high school. Sure, there are expectations, but they are not reflective of what type of expectations are held during a typical school year. Just because of the nature of high school, you know, there's my own personal feelings on the value of high school, summer school really, and what students get out of summer school. Not high school. so I think it's important to keep that in mind as we go through this site visit, that it's not a probably not going to paint a good picture of what we will see come August 5th or 6th, you know, when school starts.
Ms. Polis?
The questions I had for the superintendent about summer school previously are things I wouldn't see and I'm going to call it a visitation, not an inspection. is the number of English language learners in that English class. and how it's differentiated in summer school. So I don't know the types of questions I would have about what's happening and that maybe how we could change how summer school's structured. I don't think I'm going to see when I walk through. I'm going to see 50 students in a classroom, and I don't know if there's that many now, maybe 40, because they're dropping out. But I won't be able to know what the makeup of that class and why they're there. Are they in there because they failed eighth grade English and they had to take this class to actually as a prerequisite to get into ninth grade? And what are those numbers? Those are the kind of things I'd want to know. And that sounds to me like more like a report than a visitation. And I know when we did our visitations, we just wanted to get a good idea of what the school looked like. But what the teachers and the administrators of that site felt were much different than what we wanted. They wanted to show off and showcase. We wanted to see a typical day. And with summer school being so short, I don't want to take away that focus on the students because they were concerned that we were evaluating them. And that was not our intention, but of course, as board members, when that comes in, that's going to happen. So I don't want to be, definitely I would like to see firsthand what's happening, but I would need the backup information, but I don't want to be disruptive. And I don't know, I would like professional opinion on can we do this and not be disruptive like we were, which, and I felt it was beneficial for us, but not for the for the schools when we went in mass and did our visits. They were very focused on us. Mm-hmm.
Songs and
yes.
performances.
I mean,
and
we, yes. I thought it was beneficial for us, but I don't, in retrospect, I don't think it was beneficial for the districts and what was happening in those individuals. And some of the teachers, the newer teachers, or maybe some of the veteran teachers, who aren't used to adults observing them. You could feel the anxiety in the classroom when you know that's not typically what's there because they felt they had to perform. So before I sign on to a summer school visitation, I want to know, can we do it without being disruptive? In your opinion?
The answer is no. If you step on campus, you will change the flow of the school. I'm not suggesting that you couldn't or shouldn't. I'm just saying as a board member, as an adult, an unknown adult, or board member representative, you will change the flow of the district. You cannot walk into a summer school class, any class, and not expect tensions to rise and behavior to change.
Okay. But I would like, is there, how much work would it be just to, and maybe we could have the summer school back up after, like in December as a gift. I don't know. When you're not as busy, not starting new programs up at new schools, but maybe we can have a report. So when we're thinking about what summer school looks like in the future, we might be able to make those changes soon enough, looking at that data.
Well, just to bird walk a little, what the board is going to have to wrestle with, and Trustee Menar has touched on this a little bit, is what is summer school? Mm. If summer school is a combination of advancement and replacement of classes. You have a mixed, you have two merging groups on campus. So you have the EL students who need English language arts, you have students who failed, you have students that want to move forward. And to run those summer school classes are very expensive. You have high numbers you wouldn't normally have in a regular school year. So what the board has to wrestle with is that structure as is, although you don't like it, is it something you can live with? And if it is, We as the professionals, we as the educators, do the best we can in that environment. Is it perfect? Far from it. But does it allow the child to get the health requirement and the computer requirement out of the way so they can go on and take more advanced courses? Yes, it does. The kids who choose to do that generally can function in a larger environment than they would traditionally be in. Does it allow the kid to has to retake English 1 in a less than perfect scenario, retake it, pass the class, move forward in their transition? It does. Summer school is and always has been a bit of an anomaly. for those that have seen it. So that's the bigger question as you wrestle with this and you look at the numbers. So I would agree with you. And, again, I'm not giving an opinion. This is a board decision. We can do whatever you direct us to do. We would be open to providing you an informational item if that's what you chose.
Well, and for me personally, rather than disrupting the schools, because as Mr. Maneras pointed out, it's not a regular school day. It is, and as I pointed out, highly intensive, instructive education. But with that, there were a lot of questions that Ms. Miranda Jimenez asked that I do think are very valid questions and should be part of a board report. And so I think I would also like to add Ms. Polis's part, where we have extra funding coming in, and so, and maybe it's time that we do look at our summer school offerings and so have a discussion report on what's offered, if there's going to be room in the budget to offer more. And maybe as part of that discussion, and I'm not asking for this next board meeting at all, but also maybe have Mount SAC here to see if they're planning any changes or if we could strengthen our partnership with them and maybe better align what we're looking at in terms of courses being offered. So with that, I guess I would turn it back to Ms. Miranda Jimenez, because you made the initial request for the site visit, and you've heard what I would like to have happen. You've heard some of the other board members' thoughts.
I'm so excited that we're talking about summer school. This is something we've not done since I've been on the board. So this is excellent that one more time we're putting student learning first. So thank you, everyone, for engaging in this discussion. That was my focus. I went on to the campus as a parent, had my parent hat on, walked into my daughter's classroom, and went, holy cow, there's not even enough chairs for all the students that are here. And then left her classroom and went to the board and started actually physically counting students and said, is this the best way that student learning can take place? And so for me, it's a very student-centered focus. My intention was not to go room to room and observe the classroom, because to your point, it's a very different view of education than a traditional year. And I jokingly told Dr. Himmann, and he'll know, I said, I didn't realize we had lecture halls at West Covina High School, because some of these classrooms are 55 students. I had no idea we had lecture halls at our school. So Dr. Hinman said, well, you know, let's take a look at that. And I said, yes, let's do that. Because, again, I'm a board member, and I realize that as much as I was there initially as a parent, the minute I step into another classroom, I'm the board member. And so I asked Dr. Hinman, can I do it then in that capacity? And you all know me. The more the merrier. If there's other people on the board that want to learn about the summer school, please join us. Dr. Min had the great idea of maybe inviting somebody from Mount SAC along to answer some of my questions, because this is new territory for me in this respect. So it's about student learning and how best are we handling it. I like what Ms. Pulo said. Maybe we need to change some of the structure. So this is a learning opportunity for me. It is not to go in there and evaluate a teacher and evaluate the content. It's about taking a look at Where are these lecture halls, and are we breaking any fire codes, and some of the information you provided, and we can continue to study it as a board. I think that's excellent, because again, we're putting student learning first, and we want to maximize student learning for all of our kids, whether they're doing credit recovery or they're trying to get ahead. So the intention is not to stand in the back of the room for 10 minutes, 15 minutes with the clipboard. It's really just to take a peek and really more sit in the principal's office and get the information and have that discussion with Mount SAC and have the discussion. But it can easily be done here as well, which would probably be better. But it was for me to be able to see and not me to peek in, and people wonder, well, what's the board member doing that she's peeking in the classrooms? So I knew I had to do it in a more structured way.
And so are you saying that you're willing to go the site visit? And excuse me for having said inspection before. It's the construction defect paralegal. I decide inspections all the time. Site inspection comes afterwards. And go ahead and have where we make an agenda item and evaluate summer school. And I'm going to have to defend staff here a little bit because our summer school is our summer school. I mean, we approve it every year. We know the course offerings. We know the class sizes. I mean, quite frankly, if we have students in a class that has 55 students, I say, great, we're getting them ready for college and lecture halls. We have always tried to maximize the amount of students that we can offer services to during the summer because we've had budget cuts after budget cut after budget cut, and so that takes away the opportunity to have, you know, a lot of course offerings, and part of it is Mount SAC and their numbers and us contracting with them. I'm sorry that, you know, maybe some of this wasn't explained to you as we voted on summer school year after year and had summer school year after year. I think, like I said, that this is a great time since we also have two new board members and we have extra funding coming in, that we do sit down as a board and invite Mount SAC and have the discussion. Are we offering all that we can offer as we prepare for summer school next year? Are we offering all that we can offer? Can we offer more? Are we offering what our students really need, which I'm sure the answer is yes. But without, because the second you look into a classroom, step into a classroom, you've disrupted instruction, whether it's a 10-second peak or a 10-minute watch. And I understand that you at no time thought we would be there evaluating, that you just were requesting to see how it works. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm back to, in the best interest of student learning, do you agree to forego a site visit and we move forward as a board and look at summer school as a whole, look at Mount SAC as our partner as a whole, and maybe there will be a board majority that says, hey, Mount SAC, we're not comfortable with you having 55 students in a class. Will you negotiate with us? But all of that doesn't happen by going to the school site. All of that has to happen here at a board meeting.
I like the idea of doing those things here. I still want to see summer school because you can only see summer school while it's happening. So I still want to see summer school. And just as you all know, I am going to go into my daughter's computer class tomorrow to say hello to the teacher, just as I did to the health teacher. I did not identify myself. I said I'm here as a parent. So I will be doing that tomorrow because she transitions over. But I want to see summer school during summer school, just as we see the school year during school year. I don't have to have the Mount SAC individual come. We can all do it as a board. I love that idea. And that it becomes an actual agenda item. That's fine. All those questions can be answered then, and I can think of more. I still want to actually see it as it's occurring. And I know I can't go around the campus and take a look because I'm a board member. So with that, does anybody want to join me? Or do I just go with the principal now, which is perfect? I mean, the assistant principal, who's running it, Mr. Prestella.
Darren's. Or who's running the summer school, Colleen?
Mount SAC pays for coordinators, so Mr. Prestella runs the Mount SAC part, and Mr. Rose runs the other part for the West Covina piece for us.
Okay. Will the same thing happen at Edgewood High School as well?
I was thinking about that when we were looking here. I said, you know what, I should go take a look at Edgewood as well. So just to really be fair, if we're really going to discuss this and talk with Mount SAC, then absolutely.
We also have to see if the rest of the board can be able to attend, and then you have to work around each and one of our schedules to see if we all can go. So
is there a proposed
date
you
do that?
That you're planning on going?
Well, right now we have it as Friday at 10:40. This coming Friday, the 26th at 10:40.
I know I can't make.
So I have my calendar open. I can do some other times and dates. Or
I heard lots of things being proposed. We meet with Mount SAC annually in the late fall to start planning for next year. So as you're thinking about your visiting and reports and things like that, that might be a better time to do the reports and the conversations with them. I know it doesn't help the visit for the summer, but
right.
When we think about reporting, that might help.
The structure of a summer school visit, regardless whether it's myself, Colleen, or a board member, it would be to go with the administrator in charge of summer school, and that person would guide us through the classes. Again, there wouldn't be a lot of stopping of questions or input. Again, if you wanted to see how a summer school class of 40 operated, you could walk by and you could see that interaction take place. I guess that's what would be gained from that, or if there's 50 in a class. I think you would see the same thing at you're welcome to go to as many schools as you want. Going through one summer school would pretty much be duplicated going through another summer school. But, as staff, we will do whatever you would like us to do. If it's an individual board member, we will honor that request. In this particular case, after Ms. Miranda Jimenez brought it forward, I went to President Shoemaker and said this request has come. This probably should be open up to all board members if that's what you'd like to do. Staff would prefer not to do several individual trips. We'd prefer to do one. This is kind of a really busy time. But, again, we work at the discretion of the board.
Okay. In the information report that we get, I would like to know the difference in between the two summer schools and how many. Because the question I had about Edgewoods, it was one of our programs. It wasn't a Mount SAC program. That we had the same numbers as Mount SAC did. So I would like, which I was not aware of. And maybe that was something in our proposals for summer school I should have been aware of. But there's a class that started out with 57 students. I don't think they all showed up enrolled in an English class at Edgewood for incoming ninth graders. That was at Edgewood.
For equity,
run by us.
Yeah. For equity purposes, you're probably going to, even if it's negotiated with Mount SAC, you're going to see the same numbers. We can't offer one less, and Mount SAC offer more. Again, I would ask the board to wrap your head around summer school is expensive,
yes.
And summer school is in addition to our regular charge, which is the school year. That's where the majority of our academic learning takes place. Summer school is an addition. It's expensive. There is some recoup of funds for Mount SAC. They're able to file with the state, and so it's actually a win for them. It's a burden for us, but we do it because we know there's a certain amount of kids who need that acceleration, and we have, unfortunately, a certain amount of kids who need remedial. The problem is you literally could run a full school to fill all that need, so it's a balance of how much. If you start cutting the numbers down, just planting seeds, you're going to start cutting kids out. Because we can't run the total amount of courses we would need to run to fulfill the kids who want to be enhanced and the kids who want remedial. So it's a balance. I would also share with the board, you have a professional staff here that makes those tough decisions. We will continue to bring those numbers to you.
Okay. So right now we have Friday on the books. You said Friday's good for you, but you said that's not. And then the third we...
I can't do Friday.
Okay, and the third we can't because that's a holiday, and then the 10th is the last day. So...
Well, at least on the last day we wouldn't be impacting anything other than the final day.
That actually isn't bad. That isn't bad because then that gives us an idea of how many students are left. That gives us a real clear idea how many students are left. Is there really drop-off? Is it large? Is it not? I'm okay with the 10th, last day, which would be less disruptive.
July 10?
July 10.
If you don't mind, if you mind going with someone else, unfortunately, my small window of vacation is 8th through the 13th
nice.
Of July.
Nice. 8th through the 13th.
Again, I don't have to be there. You're going to be toured by the site administrator. I'm just going to be tagging along with you, having the same observations you do. I, like Mr. Menares, have seen, 20 years of summer school, so I have a pretty good feel for what is happening.
Okay. Well, I'm good with the 10th. And if you're okay with missing, then I'm good with the 10th.
Can you do that or not?
I have the 10th available. I'm here as long as I'm not coordinating with Mount SAC and it's internal with us.
There goes Ms. Hawkins again.
Hmm?
Yes.
I know, now we're putting another thing on your plate again.
No. I really look forward to doing this. I think to make it the least disruptive, we might have to be in little groups as we go through with the administrators so that people are feeling comfortable, because you're right. There may be tests going on that day.
Or parties.
Probably not parties. It's such a short, compact.
No, I don't think so.
Exactly. I hope not. Okay.
10th?
Yes.
And then is it?
What time?
9:30 works for me.
Are you looking at all three summer schools?
I really, again, that's entirely up to you. I believe you will be able to glean what you need to further this discussion by just seeing one of the three.
Mm-hmm.
I think West Covina would be my recommendation.
Okay.
And then what about the special ed at the elementary?
I think that's a whole different discussion with ESY, because that's a, I don't want to totally jump in, but it has to do with the kids' IEPs and all of those pieces. So I think, we certainly could have that discussion, but I don't know that that's the same conversation as what we're talking about with high school.
Are you saying it's actually individualized?
Yeah, I agree with Ms. Hawkins. Absolutely, if the board wants to visit any school at any time, we can do that. But for this discussion, I think it would be separate then from ESY.
We could do it on a separate date. I mean, this has just opened up the discussion. Had not even, in all the years I had been here, visited any summer school classes or even thought about special ed. Thank you, Ms. Poulos. Because they're at Merlinda, right? At Merlinda this year?
Okay. July 10th, I believe Ms. Miranda Jimenez at 9:30. 10 o'clock will work better for me.
Okay. 10 o'clock's fine.
Mr. Menares, are you planning to attend?
Unless something comes up, right now I am planted.
Okay.
Mr. Flowers, does that work for you if you plan on attending?
If I go, it would be good.
Ms. Polis?
That would work for me. We have to know. We have to post it as a board meeting if there's three of us there.
I had the discussion with President Shoemaker earlier today. I do not believe that to be true, even though I know you've done it in the past. I'm going to be getting clarification on that within the next 24 hours. So
just because we had that discussion with the principals, we sat there afterwards.
Well, we're not doing that.
This is really, and again, just clarification, this is a walkthrough observation tour. Right. We're going to come back to you with a board agenda item, at which point we're going to have all the data, the information, the enrollment, the dropout. We'll have Mount SAC information there as well, and we will give you an absolute full update of what summer school is, what it isn't, and what your recommendations are going forward. So, I don't believe this is a meeting. This is just an observation in and out.
Correct. Okay. Dates to remember: July 3rd, 2015, 4th of July holiday, schools and district office closed. July 16th through 17th, 2015, administrative retreat. July 28th, 2015 is the next Board of Education meeting. There being no further business.
We'll meet for another month. 5 weeks.
This meeting is adjourned at 9:11.